Standing before him at last, trial and trouble all past, crowns at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. We could close the Bible and go home, but we're not. That would be too easy, wouldn't it, David? I guess the hardest thing about preaching is pleasing God, because that's what we're here for. We come together to please God. He tells us in His Word that if we are pleasing men, that we're not pleasing Him. So I learned a long time ago that no matter how hard I try to please you, I can't. So I don't have to try nearly as hard to please God. So I'd just rather please Him and let Him please you. So that's kind of the way I look at it. What does God want of us? Do you ever ask yourself that? Do you ever look in the mirror and say, God, what do you want me to do today? How many of you ever do that? That's good. We all need to do it. Because we can take this book here and we can remember it from front to back. And if we're not doing anything about it, we've wasted an awful lot of time that we could have spent playing golf, fishing, hunting, whatever you like to do. But I got a feeling that God would be more pleased with us serving Him. And it's up to us to serve God to the best of our ability, to please Him as much as possible. It's up to us. I was talking with Lee Sis this past week. He's got a new baby in his family. And yeah, we're living, I think, in the end times, according to what I understand about the Bible. And he was telling me that there was a guy that came over to his store over there at Bargains, and he told him that he was Jesus Christ and that there was an awful lot of people following him, you know. I guess they were maybe just suckered in to believe that he might be Christ. But I can tell you that when Christ comes back, you're not going to have to ask Him who He is. And He's not going to have to tell you who He is. And so if anybody comes by you and they tell you that they're Jesus Christ, say, okay, just keep going. You're not talking to Christ. He won't have to tell you who He is. You'll know it. And I just thought that was kind of ironic. I'd been doing some studying about the last days and all of the things that are going to be taking place. And it does say in there that there's going to come an awful lot of people saying, I am Christ. He says, don't believe it. It's not true. So when Christ comes, we will believe Him. I look at what's going on in the world today, and I'm sure that you do too, especially if you have money in the bank or if you have insurance that you don't know whether it's going to pay or not. Or you may have a job today and you may not have a job tomorrow. This is the times that we're living in. This is the times that the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be preparing for. I wish I could tell you how long it's going to be. but I know I can't. And I'm going to do the second best thing, I guess. Regardless of when it is, my prayer for you is that you will be ready for it. You'll be ready for Christ when He comes. If you do that, then I feel like I have done something right. It's up to us to encourage one another. And the more I see things going on in the world, the more encouragement we need. It's easy to watch a cartoon on television and sit down and laugh about it. But when the news comes on, you want to turn it off before they tell you what happened. But you know, curiosity killed a cat. And when the news comes on, I sit there and watch it. Just to see what's going to happen next. And it amazes me that all of the money that this country has, we got all of these brilliant people handling it. They don't know what to do with it. So they waste it. Then they expect the taxpayers to pick them up, pay them out of debt, put them back on a straight road so that they don't owe anybody anything. And they'll put the same people back in charge and they'll turn around and they'll do the same thing all over again. I believe if I was going to put somebody in charge of something, I would see how it turned out before I offered him anything else. Because we're just, I don't know, we're just so far away from God, it's frightening. I hear all of these Jews people telling about what's going on in the world. Nobody ever says anything about God. Nobody ever says anything about the coming of Christ. Nobody ever says anything about the establishing of God's kingdom upon this earth. Not even the preachers that I watch on television. And when I'm at work, I keep a radio station on and that's all they do is preach all night long. And I can sit there for 8 hours or 12 hours, whatever how long I'm there. And they don't tell me anything. They just tell me what they want the congregation to hear, I guess. When I open this book, there's a lot in there that I don't know. And there's a lot in there that I probably won't ever know. But there's a lot in there that I do know. And I would rather know just a little bit and live according to it than to know it all and not bother with it. I think that's what God wants us to do. Take what we know and live according to it. He tells us that we're to love each other, that we're to treat each other the way that we want to be treated. And it amazes me how much we don't follow His word. It's tough sometimes, I guess, to love people. Maybe they're just not lovable. Grandma's got one back there she can love. That's the way it should be with all of us. You know, just love them like I do the babies. And when they get the big special, then they get attention. But you see, we don't have to be rocked to sleep by God to love Him. We have to obey Him. We have to serve Him. We have to listen to this word here. The book of Peter. He talks about the exhortations to godliness. There's one thing that I hope for in my life. I had always said that I didn't think I would be living when Christ comes. But I've changed my thinking. I just might be here when He comes. If it's His will, I will. But I just look at so many things that are going wrong in the world, and I see so many things that are going wrong with our family and our friends. And it seems that we are looking at the wrong direction for help. I think that we need to open this book. We need to start reading. All of it. Not just the parts you want, but all of it. Peter says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with that same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." It's God's will that we serve Him. It's God's will that we love Him. It's God's will that we love His Son. And the most important thing to us, it's God's will that we love each other. Amen. And I do. I love every one of you. And I hope to be standing there beside Jesus when you walk into the kingdom of God. I just love to be a doorkeeper. And say, "Hey, I know them. I went to church with them. I grew up with them. I watched them grow up. They're children. I've always considered you my family. And most of your children think I'm their granddaddy. Some of them even think I'm their great-granddaddy. But that's all right. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's good. Chapter 3 of Peter, verse 12. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." We try to think that that's not talking to us. We try to think that that's talking to somebody else. But I don't know when I look at this here and it says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. I like to hope that I'm a righteous person. I like to hope that I can live a righteous life. And I hope that you can too. It says, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" All you've got to do is follow God. He's good. All you've got to do is follow Jesus Christ. He's good. If you follow man sometime, you better find out where he's going. If you're going to follow the Joneses, find out where the Joneses are going. And that's the way we should be. Find out what's going on. If they're not going in the right direction, don't go with them. I know that according to this book here, it's true, and it tells us what is good. It tells us what to do, what not to do. And we just keep reading it and keep ignoring it. I talked with somebody this past week and they said they thought it was time that God would bless us. I said, no, it's not time for God to bless us. He says, why? I says, I think it's time for us to bless God. Because we are ignoring Him. We're not blessing God with our actions, our deeds. We're not blessing God with what we do. Yet we want Him to bless us. The Bible clearly states that if you will turn back to God, if you will be obedient to His teachings, He says He will bless you. But see, we want that blessing without turning back to God. And that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. He says, you turn to me. You turn away from the evil of this life. And I will bless you. In the book of Revelation, a lot of people say, well, I don't read that book. I'm scared of it. I said, well, that's the one you need to read. You know, most of us don't understand it, but the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we don't fear God, then I would say we don't have much wisdom. We're not too smart. He don't want us to be afraid of Him. He wants us to respect Him. He wants us to respect His Word. He wants us to follow His instructions in our lives. And I keep praying every day for Thy will to come on earth as it is in heaven. The Bible says that Christ is coming back. And our question today is, are you ready for it? Would you be happy to see Christ walk in the door? Right now. Right now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus.
That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to be ready. And if we can't say that we would like to see Him walk in the door, something wrong with us. We better change our ways and follow God's ways. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 6, says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, on such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. 1,000 years sounds like a long time. But you know, the Bible says that 1,000 years is with God as one day, and one day as 1,000 years. But I look at this, and I would certainly like to hope that I would be a part, have a part in that first resurrection. Because if you have a part in that first resurrection, it don't make any difference what happens. It don't make any difference how many storms of life go by. It's not going to hurt you. Those that have a part in the first resurrection, they shall not be hurt with a second death, so you don't have to worry about it. Your death is past. Your life is just beginning. And it's important to us that we have a part in the first resurrection. There's going to be a lot of trouble for the second people, second resurrection. And there's going to be trouble for a lot of people simply because they won't choose Christ. Simply because they don't want anything to do with Him. I think I told you before about working with a young man that told me that he was an atheist. That he didn't believe in God. I said, that's all right. I said, that's a good part about America. You can believe anything you want to. I said, that don't make it right, but you can believe it. And I worked with that young man for about over a year. And we were sitting there one night and we were talking. He finally looked at me. He says, oh my God. I looked at him. I said, what did you say? He says, I said, oh my God. I said, praise the Lord. I says, at least now you know there is a God. I don't think he realized what he said until he, you know, it passed. And then not too long ago, he came in one Friday morning, threw his hands up there, air says, hallelujah. I said, what's that for? He says, I'm thankful it's Friday. I said, all of these years, you and me have been sitting here talking to each other and you telling me that you didn't believe in a God. And I told you that was all right. I could work with you anyway. I think it's turned this young man's life around. Whoever brought the water, thank you. But it's important to us to be ready when Christ comes. The 21st chapter of Revelation says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're waiting on. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. A lot of people are of the impression that when he said, I make all things new, that that's what he's going to do. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about making you a new creature. He's talking about making us new people. Then he goes on and says that when it's done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God and he shall be my son. Don't that sound great? And inherit all things. You know, we inherit things every once in a while. But just every once in a while, it's not close to all things. Everything you want, you're going to have. I think I've quoted it over and over and over, that eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered the hearts of men. The good things that God has prepared for them that love him. But notice this 8th verse. It says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's why it's important that we follow God, that we follow the teachings of His Son. If just being a liar can keep you out of God's kingdom, that's not much, because we all do it. But we're thankful that there is forgiveness when we do wrong. Revelation 22, and He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Sit down sometime and think that there's going to come a time when there's not going to be any sickness, when there's not going to be any sorrow, when there's not going to be any pain, when there's only going to be joy in the Lord. And that joy is going to last forever. That's not going to be over in just a little while. It's going to last. So I encourage you today to follow the instructions in this book. Read what it says. Believe what it says. We could go on and on, but I always like to stop before my time runs out. I hope you all have enjoyed being in church. I hope you have listened to what I said. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, if you have not been baptized and turned your life over to Him, as we close this song, with our closing song, we offer the invitation to you. Come forth and dedicate your life to Him. Because unless I'm totally wrong, the coming of Christ could be any day. The prophecies of the Bible that point to His coming, they've all been fulfilled. There is only one, just one tiny spot that has not been fulfilled yet, and it can be filled in a matter of seconds. That's the preaching of the gospel to all the nations. And with today's modern technology, you can hear it everywhere. And that's the only thing that's waiting for His time. And when he sends His Son, I hope your time is going to be well spent and that you're going to be ready for it. Thank you. God bless every one of you.